Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Another day. Thank you for hanging in there with me yesterday. Did a best of show, so happy Tuesday to everyone. What a fun show we have lined up for you today. About 1:10, about 10 minutes after the hour, Sean Sierra, host of Sean and Maya in the Morning and a founder of Sports Zone Chicago. We're going to talk a little bit of this last dance. It wrapped up. I know I should have been here yesterday to talk about it, but we're going to wrap it up the rest of this week. A lot of good stuff going on with that. A lot of things that we want to touch on. I want to touch on with him some of the things that they're saying in the city of Chicago and some of the things that he thought about as he watched the whole documentary progress and end on Sunday. Got to find other stuff to do, too, on Sunday. And, you know, I mean, he's a super back. I want to ask him about his opinion on the NFL and them thinking that maybe we tie draft choices or draft picks in with hiring minority candidates as coaches and GMs. I'll also give you my thoughts on that as well. And we're going to do all that. We're going to do it all right here on the Cave Show with PLR. It is Tuesday, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get in there. Let them know that PLR sent you. They will definitely take care of you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. Right now, they're open 11 till 6, Tuesday through Saturday. So get in there. Like I said, if you let them know that PLR sent you, they take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can sit and smoke. You can relax. It is an incredible, incredible selection of cigars. Now, if you are out of state or in state and for whatever reason you can't make it down there, you can go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com, and you can have your cigars shipped to you. If you live in state, they'll probably go out the exact same day. So no need to wait any longer for your sticks. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, that's Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Let them know PLR sent you, and they will tune you up 10% off of your cigar purchase. Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. First thing I do want to touch on today, I definitely want to send heartfelt prayers out to the Diamondbacks and Sterling Marte. Yesterday he announced on his Instagram feed that he believed his wife died. Well, his wife did die, but he believed it was from a heart attack. Nolia, they were. How do you deal with that as a person? Forget baseball player. How do you deal with that? I'm just going to read you what he put on his Instagram. Today I go through the great pain of making public the unfortunate death of my wife, Nolia, due to a heart attack. It is a moment of indescribable pain. On behalf of my family, I'm grateful for the expressions of esteem and solidarity in this difficult time. So I've talked to him a bunch of times. He's a really good guy, and I just feel bad that this happened to him and to his family. And like I said, hate to start out the show with bad news, but big-time prayers out to Marte and his family, and hopefully with prayers they'll be able to. You never get through, you never get through these things, but hopefully as time goes on, his heart mends and heals just a little bit more each day. So I want to get back into this last dance. Like I said, I have Sean Sierra coming up here in a couple minutes. But a couple interesting things came out in this. And one of the things that I think is crazy, and that I'll talk to Sean about as well, is we, including me, have pointed the finger at Jerry Krause for so long. So long. And I think a lot of it is deservedly so. But we are letting Jerry Krause off the hook. I mean, we're letting him go scot-free. He literally said in the last episode, he went ahead and told Phil, hey, look, Phil, we want you to come back. We'll bring you back one more year. Well, it's already been determined that he wasn't going to come back. It had already been determined that Krause didn't want him back. Krause was ready to go. He had Tim Floyd. And he was ready to move in a different direction. And then they said, oh, we would love to have Mike back, but you're not going to have Phil. And then he made the comment, guys like Steve Kerr, Ron Harper, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman had set a market so high that there'd be no way for them to afford them to bring them back. Now, the only thing I can say to that is that's some bullcrap. That truly was some bullcrap. Because at that time, you could have brought them back on one-year deals. And yes, you would have paid out the butt for them. I completely understand that. You really would have. But you also whined and cried and made comments about paying Michael Jordan $33 million, $36 million a year. When your franchise was going up in value every single minute because of him. I think that team earned the right to defend its title. I really do. And I understand that Reinsdorf didn't want the Bulls to turn into the Celtics and to this total rebuild and have to gut everything out. But that's what you did. The thing that you feared the most is the thing that you ended up doing. When you said you didn't want to bottom out, you wanted to do it on the fly. Because as Krause said, organizations win championships. When you let Michael Jordan go, Scottie Pippen go, Steve Kerr go, Ron Harper go, Dennis Rodman go, Phil Jackson go, who's going to be your team? If that's not starting over, what was going to be your team? So I'm miffed at this. If you let that many people walk out the door, did you really think that you were going to field a competitive team? Now, you held on to Tony Kukoc, who you had under contract, understandable. But you let all the players go. All your ballers left. The 98-99 Bulls roster consisted of Brent Barry, Corey Benjamin, Mario Bennett, Keith Booth, Randy Brown, Mark Bryant, Corey Carr, David Cornell, Ron Harper, who he kept for one more year, Charles Jones, Tony Kukoc, Andrew Lang, Rusty LaRue, Dickie Simpkins, and Bill Wennington. That team may have been good enough to win a tournament at Lifetime Fitness. So if you weren't rebuilding and hitting bottom, what were you doing? If you kept that team together, for one more run, and they lost, and they didn't win. And that strike shortened or lockout shortened, whichever way you want to call it, season ended up in them losing the title. What difference would it have been? I don't know. Listen, these are some questions I'm going to ask a boy, the one and only, Sean Sierra. He's on with us in exactly 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, coming up right now, the one, the only, Sean Sierra. You know him, host of Sean and Maya in the Morning, founder of Sports Zone Chicago. And I got something that he is going to love hearing as he comes in on this show, on the game show with PLR. He knows. We all know. All know. The one and only, Sean Sierra. Sean, brother, what's happening?
What up, what up, what up? How you guys doing over there in the AZ, baby? How's everything going?
Man, they're opening up. We open. We're open for business. Got
we're
to
open.
Sign up everything. We're open for business.
Uh-oh.
That's how we roll. You know,
we're gonna
caution
act a fool
to the
now.
World. Man, they've been acting a fool already. So, hey, ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed. But you see how I bring you in on that Bulls thing?
I heard. I'm just waiting for Ray Clay. And now, the Super back.
You already know. You already know. So, I listen. So, how many times have you watched The Last Dance?
I just watched it once through. I don't want to watch it again yet because I want to watch it in chunks. I want to watch 1 through 5
okay.
And then 6 through 10. But so I've only watched it the first as it played. I shouldn't say that. And then I watched the replay because then you watch Scott Van Pelt on it, the breakdown right after the analysis. And then,
right.
You know, they re-air the shows again right after that. So unfortunately for me, because I, you know, my show's on Monday, so I sit up and watch them again. So I'm usually tired on Monday, the last 5 Mondays. But so yeah, I've watched them and rewatched them every Sunday.
So we've known for a long time that Jerry Krause has been everyone's whipping boy, everyone's person to point to and look at and say, hey, why did you let this team break up? But in episode 10. I think we got to start sharing some of that blame, because when Reinsdorf came out and said, wait a second now, people had reached a market value, and we weren't paying Scotty and Ron and Rodman and Kerr and Mike and Phil. He went cheap, and he got away with that for a lot of years, and I still don't think people are pointing the finger at him like they should, but he went cheap on him, Sean.
Well, I mean, he looks at it as from a business perspective, purely. And you got to remember, he's a baseball guy. So, yeah, the fact that he was winning titles with the Bulls was great. It was making him money, great. But that was a business to him. It wasn't a passion project like the White Sox are, because for those of you who don't know, he owns the Chicago White Sox as well. So if it was the White Sox, that might have been a little different. But, I mean, from a business perspective, you're going to have to pay Scotty. You're going to have to pay him because he's making less than $2 million. It was 7 years for $18 million was his contract that he was in the last year of. So he's making less than $2 million. And there's no way if you're paying the worm $9 million of that his last couple of years, you're gonna have to give Scotty $10 to $12 million. You already got to pay Michael 30, 35, maybe 40 at that point if he's going one more year. And that's a big jump from one and change, less than $2 million from Scotty to at least 10. And then again, you're gonna have to increase the worm, his salary a little bit. Maybe he'll have a nice even $10 million. So yeah, he went cheap on him, yes. But you have to realize financially, that's a big thing. I think that he could have absorbed it, but there was a lot of money that was going to be shelled out, and I think that kind of scared him a little bit.
You know, I it's funny because I hear that and I understand that, but at that time, remember, we didn't have the same contract system that we do now. So even if he ballooned all those guys for 1 year to give them a shot, the Bulls were the number one selling team on the road, at home, merchandising. He was already charging $8 a beer. You mean to tell me he couldn't have recouped a lot of that money back just off of the merchandising and the value of the team consistently going up every single year that Michael Jordan played there? None of that could have been recouped?
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, you know what? Of course, it could have been recouped. I mean, you got playoff bonuses. You make money in the playoffs, so that playoff run would have been more than enough to recoup it. You know, with every game that they had, and they were going at least to the Eastern Conference Finals. So you got three rounds of home ticket sales, of concession sales, of jersey, of merchandising, of all that, of sponsorship. You know, you have all that, and that would have been recouped easily. But he chose not to do it. So yeah, Krause deserves a big part of the blame. But I think it was both. It was Reinsdorf as well, and he's not getting enough of the blame as he should have. Because again, that was a business decision, and I think it was more so from. It worked out well because he didn't want to pay that amount of money or whatever amount it was going to be, and Krause was a little annoyed because, as you recall, the relationship with Phil had deteriorated, and when you tell. You tell Phil you could go 82-0 and you're still not coming back. Come on, man. That was just pure ego. And you know what? All the vitriol that Jerry Krause is getting, God rest his soul, he deserves.
Yeah. Yeah. On the Kerry Lackey Law line, the one only the super back, Sean Sierra. So, Sean, I looked at the roster. I said, so let's go to an alternate universe and say they brought everyone back for the 98-99 strike shortened year. And it worked, didn't work, whatever, and they decide the following year that we're going to do something different because one of Krause's biggest things and Reinsdorf's biggest things were they didn't want the Bulls to end up like the Celtics and go to a bottom-out to rebuild. But I'm going to give you this roster real quick, so bear with me. Just give me like 10 seconds. I'm going to read all this out to you. They rolled out in the first 82-game full season without Mike, without Scotty, without Phil. Now notice, I'm giving a pass to Tim Floyd his first year. Chris Anstey, B.J. Armstrong, who came back from Charlotte in year 10, Corey Benjamin, they drafted Elton Brand, Randy Brown, Chris Carr, David Cornell, Hersey Hawkins, who had his better days already behind him. He was in his 11th year. The mayor, Fred Hoiberg, who came back to haunt us for it later. Kettner, Laurie, Tony Kukoc was back, Rusty LaRue, Matt Maloney, Will Perdue, who came back, Khalid Reeves, Michael Ruffin, Dickie Simpkins, John Starks, Dedrick Willoughby, and a rookie by the name of Meta World Peace. They went 17-65. You mean to tell me that you couldn't have ran that team out the following year if you would have given them one more shot?
You know, the money was there, and they knew that they were going to have contract negotiate or labor negotiations in that off season. And you know what you should have said was, look, we might have a shortened season. And I know you looked at it because you know Mike and Scotty and Dennis. I mean, they were Dennis was getting a vacation, so he wasn't burnt out mentally. but Michael and Scotty needed a break, okay? And you mean it, if you forecast it and you say, hey, listen, there could be a delay to the season. Because the Bulls had the shortest postseason for anybody in the last, you know, three seasons, because they're going to the finals and playing the last game of the year. So
right.
they should have run that team back. And if it was prorated, and that's the great part about it, you could have signed, you know, Scotty and Michael, 12, all, you know, so whatever, 35, 40 for Mike, 10, 12 for Scotty, and just have it prorated, because you would have missed, you know, 20-something games, basically 30-something games, so, you know, a little over a quarter of the season. So you're literally not paying them the full contract. So you could have run it back. And not to mention the amount of rest that they would have had. Man, they didn't start till January 1st. So you mean to tell me from June 15, 16, 17, wherever that last finals game was, to December, they couldn't, you know, or hell, even October, they couldn't have been refreshing or recharging their batteries? Hell yeah, they could have been and would have been. And that was the biggest thing that they didn't run it back, because with 50 games, Michael's rejuvenated, Scotty's rejuvenated, Scotty's happy because he got the contract. The whole band is back together, and it would have been great. The Bulls and the Knicks in the final, in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then the Bulls and the Spurs in the finals would have been a phenomenal, phenomenal matchup.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, here on the K Show with PLR, the one, the only Superbag, Sean Sierra, host of Shine and Maya in the Morning, founder of Sport Zone Chicago. What in The Last Dance did you learn, or either got it reinforced, or something you knew all along and just, like I said, it confirmed it? What's something that stood out for you when you think back of the 10 parts that you go, wow, that was either, wow, that was true, or wow, I knew it, and I'm glad they said it?
That's a good question. A lot of the things were known here. You know, like the Rodman going to wrestling, the Rodman going to Vegas, the Rod, like that we knew. I guess we just never saw. One of the things that really stuck with me was just the way that Michael had to be. You know, you heard about it. You heard about the punch of Steve Kerr in the face, and, you know, and the Winnington, and they're all setting a pick on him, and, you know, him trying to punch Winnington as well. You heard about that. You knew about that. Of course, you didn't see it. But, again, because of the lack of social media and things like that, it was still behind closed doors, more mythical than anything. We knew it happened. We just didn't see it. And when Mike came out and he broke down and, like, man, I had to do this. You know, basically I had to play the bad guy. I had to play the bad cop. That was like, wow. That really reinforced what it takes to be at the top. It's lonely at the top,
yeah.
Man. It's lonely. And if you didn't, anyone who watched that can't figure that out, that's Michael's life, then you're watching the wrong documentary, because it was lonely, man. He can't do it. But you know what? The one thing that he traded his personal life for success and for fame. And it just reiterated to what extreme he went to make sure that his teammates were ready. And if you remember the interview, the thing that I think one of the best interviews that they did, or the best pieces they did, was when they were going back to back with him and Kerr, and they were talking. They said the exact same thing. Like, yeah, I hauled off and hit Kerr. He goes, yeah, Michael Hall hit me. He goes, but I didn't back down. And he goes, yeah, and Steve Kerr didn't back down. And he goes, and I think Michael gained trust. And Michael said, and that's when I kind of trusted him. Them going back and forth, you see that, and I was like, wow, this is what he had to do in order to ensure himself that he can trust these guys. And that was just reinforced big time in that documentary.
It says it all right here.
My mentality was to go out and win at any cost.
And that's what he did. Now, the person that took a hit a lot, it seems like, in the series from a lot of people was Scottie Pippen. But Mike also said this, Sean.
Whenever they speak Michael Jordan, they should speak Scottie Pippen.
Now, a lot of was made out of the 1.8 seconds, and we know all about that. But I didn't learn anything that I don't think I already didn't know about Scotty. I think anyone that's looking at it, he got a bad rap from this, I think they're looking at it in an odd way, because You have that quote from Jordan saying, "You can't say my name without saying his." He's the only person outside of Phil that was there for all six. And he played – him and Jordan were probably the best two wing defenders to ever play in tandem ever. And he took every hard assignment, and Mike said that over and over and over. So how are people taking negative shots? I think a negativity came out on Scottie Pippen in this series.
Well, I don't know where you're hearing it, but Scottie got mad love from people here. It just reinforced because of everything you said. Yeah, you're talking about the 1.8 seconds in 94 with Kukoc. Is that what you're talking?
Right.
Scottie was pissed. There's nothing more, nothing less. Scottie was pissed. Scottie was, and I'm not okay in what he did, but he was pissed. He wanted to be the man. You know what? He had played Robin for so long. He wanted to be Batman, and his time was then. And you know, when it went to Kukoc, he was pissed. People were upset about it. I was upset about it. You know, but when you sit back and think, like, hey, it's my turn. I've lived in the shadows, and you know, we were upset about it. But at that point, you're like, I get it. Well, let's move on. I get it. Let's move on. You messed up. You screwed up. End of story. You quit on your team. You know what? But the fact of the matter is, you're the one of the biggest reasons that team is where they are at in the Eastern, you know, in the playoffs in the second round. So, I get it. I don't agree with it. But again, move on. And you know, he got to admit, he apologized. He cried. You know, but some people are just never going to be happy with, you know, giving people, you know, cutting people slack. It's bottom line.
Yeah. The city, I'm sure, was lit. It was lit out here. I've seen everyone dress up in their Chicago stuff on Twitter, online, put their Jordans on, their everything on. I'm sure Chicago was crazy during this time. Has there been any other sports talk? Have you guys been talking about anything else other than The Last Dance? Because it's like a week worth of talking every time there was one episode, and they were giving us two.
We did. We were able to squeeze in some Bear Notes. Part, it was usually half Bears, half everybody else. I mean, half Last Dance, half everybody else. Maybe quarter Bears, then the other quarter Cubs, Sox. Maybe throw a little Hawks in there. But it dominated the conversation from Monday to Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday you picked up because you're anxious about Sunday. So
yeah,
it dominated the sports talk scene over here, and it was great. I'm telling you, you've never seen so many grown-ass men post what they were wearing on Facebook, on Instagram, ever in your lives. Grown men, 35, 40, 45, 50-year-old men. I'm wearing these Jordans. I'm wearing this throwback. I'm wearing this jersey. I'm wearing that jersey. You know what I mean? I'm wearing this warm-up. I'm wearing that warm-up. Grown men doing that, and they're fired up about it. You know what I'm saying? That just goes to show you the aura, the power of Michael and the Bulls of the 90s. It was insane. I'm very sad because there's nothing, this Sunday is not going to happen again. You know what I mean? But it really, at a time when there's no sports, them moving up was the best thing. It was the most watched documentary in the history of documentaries. They averaged over 5 million people a show. So this was just amazing. Chicago, the only bad thing is that the bars weren't open. Could you imagine the bars were open? Oh, my God. They had watch parties. Those bars would have been packed. But you know what? Everyone was just watching at home, man. It was great to watch it here. Be here in you know, back in the Shy, while and relive those memories, like where you were when that happened, it was phenomenal. And man, I just couldn't be happier, couldn't be more proud of the job that they did and to call myself a Bulls fan back then. Now, man, I don't know.
Hey, I still rock my Bulls hat all the time. I get flack, but it's okay. Hey, but one question I do want to ask you before I let you go. A lot of flack has been made about Michael Jordan's leadership style. And I've heard a lot of guys who, you know, I respect them. I respect their opinion. But when I hear people like, you know, Jay Williams, who said, you know, I like more of a LeBron type, or Channing Frye, who came out and made a crazy statement that he's not a Jordan guy. Jordan was just really, he had one job. He did it well. He was a scorer. Or guys like Kendrick Perkins, who last year said, Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. And then he says, well, after watching the documentary, I changed my mind. Now it's LeBron. I mean, when you hear that, what do you think about all these guys flip-flopping or going this way or going that way? And you know, I heard LeBron say, and I'll give this last one and let you answer. LeBron say, hey, you know what? I could have played with MJ. Now, here's the one thing that I will say, and I'm going to take a shot that I usually don't take. I don't think someone as great as LeBron, as good as he is, and someone is going to go down in history as being one of the top players to ever play, should ever say they could have played with a guy when they're going for the same goal. I never would have heard Mike say he could have played with Magic, or Bird say I could have played with Larry, or I mean with Mike. Or to me, he reduced himself to basically calling himself a Scottie Pippen. And I'm not saying Scott, believe me, I'm not knocking Scottie when I'm saying that. But I never hear great players saying that. Am I being too harsh? And then what do you think about all those other comments from all those other guys about the things they said?
I got some words that probably can't be, the way I'm going to describe it probably wouldn't be appropriate for your station. But, you know, a lot of people are just soft, man. A lot of people are just soft. You know what? We're real men. And that's the thing. Here's Michael's thing. Michael said, I had to win at all costs. And when you realize when you win at all costs, Michael had to make sure that every single person who was going to be counted on was going to be able to answer the bell. And he understood what the Knicks were doing. He understood what the Pistons were doing. He understood what the Pacers were doing. Okay, though in the Heat, those were teams that played physical. And Michael had to make sure that those teams were, that his teams, that his players, his teammates were ready to deal with that type of physicality and of trash talking and not lose their cool and still be able to perform under pressure. And the only way to do that is you put him in that situation. And you heard so many times that the practices were so tough. Well, yeah, because those games were tough. It's a different NBA. Channing Frye, you never played in that league in that time frame, that era. A lot of these players couldn't play in that era because it was too physical. They'd go home crying. They'd have to go in a corner, suck their thumb, and cry and call for mom. So this is a grown man, grown ass men league back then. Okay, and you had, it was fire, iron sharpening iron, and that's what Michael did. Why, and how do we know it? Look at John Paxson. He hit the game-winning shot. Look at Steve Kerr. He hit game-winning shots. Look at Bill Winnington. He hit game-winning shots or big shots when his time was in. Look at all the people that he went and he made sure that he had to make sure that those weak links were very strong. And he did. And Channing Frye and all those other people, it's just hate, man. It really is. You know, when you – can't be, it bugs me when people say that, especially younger people now, and call them a bully, call them this. Hey, there's a point in time, you know, life's not easy, competition's not easy, and when you said it, when LeBron said I could have played with Mike, yeah, he did reduce himself because he realized, I don't know if he mentally could have done that and play, because, you know, you don't say that. He should have said I want to play Mike, I want to beat Mike. What if Michael has never, ever backed away from saying, I wanted to go at Magic, I wanted to go at Bird, I wanted to go at Dr. anybody. He never backed down from that. LeBron, yeah, he lowered or lessened himself by saying I could have played with him. What he should say is, man, I would have loved to have played him in his prime and see where it was at. Kobe said it. Kobe said, man, I went to the NBA because it was his last year. I skipped college right just to play with Mike, against Mike, not LeBron. So, you know, and Perkins and Jay Williams, hey, you know what? That's fine. But again, your mental fortitude that those guys have might not be where it would have been had you been on Mike's team. Or you might not have been on Mike's team very long.
About to let you go on this. By the way, did you notice that back in those days, how they wore the big jerseys, nobody wore the stuff underneath? You know how nowadays players get to wear the padding, the you know, under their jersey and their thighs.
Right, that's the Dwayne Wade thing started. He started that, yeah.
So, yeah. Did you notice, though? I don't know if that's something that you noticed, but when the Pistons and the Knicks were beating up everybody in the NBA, nobody had padding. They were taking that right to the body, which is just It's almost like watching hockey goalies play back in the 60s without a real face mask on. It's like something along. You are tough guys. There's no other way to get around that. Now, I'm going to let you go with this one. I saw your boy online the other day, and I listened a little bit, but I didn't see you listening to your boy Julian Jumping Perez. Well, what happened to you?
Oh, no, I'm listening, brother. I'm listening. I started my own watch party. That's my dude. That's my dude, right, man. So when he comes on, I start my own watch party. So everybody can either watch my page or, you know what I'm saying? Nah, that's my dude, Papa. That's my dude.
Yeah, I hopped on for about 5 minutes to watch and check him out. My man said he's going to take us back to Janelle's. I was like, man, that's so West Side. I remember one time I asked my parents, my neighbor down the street, my boy, he's my boy too, still is to this day. His name is Hector Orlano. He said, yo, you think your parents are going to let you roll up to Janelle's? Man, I asked my mom if I could go to Janelle's, and she looked at me like I grew another ear. No, you ain't going. I said, but Hector going up there, you know him. She said, okay, you ain't going. And I said, but why? And she gave me that same answer again, but you ain't going. And that's how I was like, you know what? You know, back in our day, their parents didn't change the answer. That was it. It wasn't one because I think you ain't going.
Hey, I hear you. And we'll usually get one time to rebut. But why? Because I said so. But. And then they gave you that look. You're like, man.
Yeah.
And you just stop. You just stop. Because, boy, hey, don't get them mad. Don't make them say the same thing twice. I didn't stutter.
Yeah, man. You have to make that business decision because you want to keep that upper lip.
Oh, heck yeah. Or go to school with a fat one. Like, what happened? My mom. Man, why you gotta talk about your mom?
You know what? What's funny is back in those days when you got on punishment, your friends didn't ever ask the right way. They would say, "You say I can't come out." They didn't say, "Oh, what happened? What'd you do?" They never said, "Oh, the mom, what'd you do?" Like, man, nothing. Mom's just tripping.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Dude. That was the craziest, man. That was crazy. Those good days, brother. Good days.
Yes, sir. Yo, man, tell everyone how they can check you out.
Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Sports Zone Chicago. On Twitter, you can tweet us at Sports Zone Shine. That's CHI. So at Sports Zone Chicago on Facebook and Instagram, and at Sports Zone Shy on Twitter. You can check us out Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We do Sean and Maya in the morning live. And once everything kicks back, we'll be back for 5 days a week. But right now, it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. So adjust it for your time back 2 hours later or sooner or earlier. And then you can check us out that way. And, man, thanks for having me on, brother. You know, I could talk Bulls. Me and you could talk Bulls for a long, long time, man.
Yeah, man. When I come next time I'm in the city, we got to find a place to sit down and have a cigar or six.
Sounds good to me, brother. Hey, I'll have a spot for us. I got a spot. We're going to go to Big Mansion. It's one of the hottest spots. It's one of the hottest cigar spots in Chicago. Do you remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Without a doubt.
Okay. So do you remember the Big Mansion is the restaurant that when they got out of the car, Ferris's dad was standing right there?
Yeah.
If you remember that.
Yes.
Yes, and they ducked right back into the car. That restaurant has been turned into the Big Mansion. That's a cigar smoking bar venue. It's the bomb. And I got a buddy of mine's got mad connects there. He's gonna hook me up there. So, but when you come back, I'll have some pull there. We can go there and tote one or two or maybe five stogies.
Man, that sounds good. You know, Ferris Bueller is a Chicago must watch. That the Blues Brothers, Uncle Buck. All those are, if you are in Chicago, if you grew up in Chicago and you haven't watched those movies, or you got a parent that grew up in Chicago, you haven't watched those movies, that's a real problem.
Hey, that's my favorite movie of all time, bro, The Blues Brothers. My favorite movie of all time. Hands
down.
On a
mission from God, bro.
Yes, we are.
Yo, man, you know I appreciate you.
I appreciate you having me on, Papa.
All right, brother. We'll catch up for sure.
Sounds good, man. Thanks.
All right, Sean.
Bye.
Thank you. One, the only superback, Sean Sierra. You heard him, host of Sean and Maya in the Morning, founder of Sports Zone Chicago. I have calls loaded up. That ran a little bit long. I apologize. I'm going to get to these calls in exactly 15 seconds.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Welcome back to the Cave Show at PLR. This is PLR. Thank you to Sean Sierra for hanging with us for so long here on the Cave Show with PLR. Remember, if you miss any parts of the show whatsoever, you can always just click back on, let it replay, or you can go to KSRN. Make sure you download that app. We get replayed every day at 3 p.m., so make sure you join us right here on the Cave Show on KSRN as a replay at 3 o'clock. Like I said, let's get to the phone lines. I had a bunch of people holding. Some dropped off. I apologize. But let me get to this first caller here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Good afternoon, Paul. Once again, another great interview.
Hey, thank you, my friend. How are you doing today?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I think New York is on the comeback trail because yesterday the governor said that I think he's open to the idea of having the teams return to their facilities. If anybody's ready to go, we're ready to go, too. Everybody except the Bills. Yeah.
Well, they got to do some table-slamming wrestling moves before they do anything.
Right. Yeah, because I was reading yesterday.
I was just going to say, it is reopening in New York for sports, I see. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because, you know, like a few days, you know, just like up until a week ago, like, no, nobody's ready. We're not opening anything up. And then all of a sudden, you know, I guess he's following the lead of Arizona and Florida. So, like, maybe we can do it. But, of course, without any fans. Well, at this point, I'll take anything.
I think that's going to end sooner than you think, Lou. And sooner
before
than I think.
My hair turns gray?
I honestly believe that we are into herd immunity at this point, and people, they're going to try. You got to basically say, you can't say everybody just go back. That's a bad
right.
Look. But if you take your time and piece by piece start pulling people back, I think that goes over a lot easier. So if you do
yes.
2 or 3 weeks without fans, and then you say, you know what, okay, fine, we'll do quarter capacity, and then another 2 or 3 weeks pass, and hopefully, you know, God willing, no one gets, you know, sick and die. Then you move to, okay, well, fine, we'll do half. And then you just keep going at that rate. And I think that's honestly what's going to happen.
Yeah, but at least, you know, Governor Cuomo is now becoming a bit more at ease because, you know, just about 2 or 3 weeks ago it was a completely different story.
You call it at ease. I call it everyone. Okay, so here's my question for you. Let's say you live in Arizona, Florida, Wyoming, where they opened up a lot sooner, Texas, Georgia, a lot sooner than other states, right?
Yeah.
If you are a state that opened up slower, what did you really lose? Because you were able to use those other states as a test, and now you can open up when – I can tell you now, Arizona's open for the most part. Places
right.
still aren't full. People, see, just because you open doesn't mean everyone is flocking to it. Now,
right.
there are some places that are busier than others, but not everything is open. Even some retail stores aren't even opening up. So by New York, Illinois, California, and probably states that lean more left, opening up their economy slower, they really haven't took a hit. Because if you own a restaurant, and restaurant owners are saying this, if you own a restaurant and you can only fill up to 50% capacity, you're really not making any money for the people that work for you. So I honestly believe California, New York, Illinois, all those states were going to open up at the same time for sports anyway. But by not being first, not only do you keep your constituents, but you're portraying an image of we're being safer. Not safe, but safer. When
safer.
You doggone well know that no sport was coming back anyway. Everyone can open up. And look, North Dakota can say we're open up for sports. We all know if the NFL, the NFL, NBA, and MLB haven't come to a date that they feel they can safely come back, who cares if the states are open? They're not playing.
Right.
So I think all of this is for show, and a lot of it has to do with money. And at the end of the day, that's always, you know my motto, it always just comes down to money.
Right. It's all about the money, it's all about the money, it's all about the money. Just like in the lawyer joke, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband. Okay, oh boy. Hey, I had to throw that in. But the Preakness looks like it's only going to be delayed 2 weeks. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is usually the second leg of the Triple Crown, but now it's going to be the first one.
Lou, you know what?
Yep.
I only get excited when the horse that wins the first race wins the second one. Until he wins
otherwise
the second
it's useless.
One. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just not a horse racing guy.
Not even for the Triple Crown, huh?
It doesn't matter. I'm not a horse racing guy. So
yeah, well, I don't follow it too much, but you know, when you get the Triple Crown race and you see one, you see him, you know, hit the Triple Crown. It doesn't happen that often, but you know, I do get a chance to see it.
But see, that's
and
the part
of course,
that interests me. If you win the second race, now I'm all in.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Now I'm in. But I think it was a couple years ago, the horse that won the first race that made you kind of interested pulled out of the second race. You're like, oh well. Okay. I ain't watching.
Yeah. But if they win the first, then, you know, then maybe they got some for the second. But if they don't win the second, there's no point watching the third.
It really isn't. To be honest with you, Lou, I like this order because the Kentucky Derby is the biggest one.
Yes.
Anyway, if we're just honest, that's the race. Everyone, right. They got their hats and their mint juleps and they're, you know, wearing their seersuckers. That's the big one. So I've always thought, why isn't that race last anyway? Because even if you lose, even if at the Belmont and Preakness, even if there are different horses that win, the only reason why you watch the Belmont and Preakness is if the horse that won the Kentucky Derby wins the second race. But you're going to watch the Kentucky Derby. No matter what, hell, there's watch parties here where people get, you know, drink the mint juleps and put up. That's a big tradition. It's almost like the bowl games. Yeah, the Cotton Bowl is cool. Yeah, the Orange Bowl is cool. But there's something about the Rose Bowl that's just special. And I think that's why this year the horse racing might be more interesting all the way through because no matter what happens at the Belmont and the Preakness, everyone's going to watch the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
So they may have done it right by mistake.
Yeah, I think you got a point there. I mean, you know, I'm just used to seeing Kentucky first, Belmont, Preakness second, the Belmont third. That's how it's been in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Yep.
So who
knows? You get used
maybe
to it.
Because of. Yeah, maybe because of all this that went, you know, it flipped right. But
yeah,
but that's you know, we'll see.
Well, anything,
we will see.
You know, when we get it, and I'll be happy.
You and me both. Take what we can get.
At this point, I'll take anything.
Exactly. But all right, my friend, I'm afraid
right.
I got to jump on you. I appreciate you calling. All right, talk to you tomorrow. Thank you. Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to get his input. So I'm scrolling through Instagram, and I don't know if you've ever checked out my man here. Has a really good podcast. You could subscribe to him on Apple Podcasts and Spreaker, and he has a YouTube channel. It's my man Damian Adams, and his Instagram, The Real Deal, WDA, The Real Deal, basically with Damian Adams. He put up a post, and I'm not going to talk about it after this, but I got to give my man credit because he made this point. And I know the LeBron haters are going to come after me again, or the LeBron lovers are going to come after me again. But he put, if LeBron got food poisoning from bad pizza in the NBA Finals today, everyone would know right away. There would be protesters outside the pizza place, and the delivery man would have to find a place to lay low. I don't need to say anything else.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
What a fun show it was today. Always good to catch up with my main man, Sean Sierra. Sean and Maya in the morning, founder of Sports Zone Chicago, Superback. Appreciate him coming on. Yeah, we're going to tear Chicago up when I make it back that way, for sure. Home. When I make it back home. Tomorrow, another good show lined up for everyone. Cannot wait. Make sure you get down to Maduro's. I told you once. I'm telling you again. Get your steaks. Sit back and enjoy. They are practicing safe distancing, so you have nothing to worry about, hopefully, there. It's crazy. Like I said, everyone just be strong. Do what's best for you. Like I said, I've seen a lot of things. People make fun of a lot of things. Don't worry about it. Just take care of yourself. Take care of those that you love, and you'll be fine. Make sure you're following us on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at the Sports Cave, where Cave is with a K. You can go to our website and check it out, sportscave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. You can get me on the Twitter at PLR. On sports. I thought I'd go out today with some old school walk-off music, even though it's technically an entrance type deal. Listen, I appreciate everyone. Tomorrow's hump day. We will be back right here on the KRPL.